Titus chapter number 1. Why did Paul write this book? Remember what we've been looking at? Verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. He told Titus, Paul said, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting, lacking in the churches there. Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So why did Paul leave him on Crete? Well, he left him there because he said, Titus, I want you to get these local churches up and running. I want you to get these local churches functioning properly. And Paul knew that in order to get the churches going properly, they needed some godly leadership in place. So he says in verse 5, I want you to ordain elders. In other words, I want you to get some recognized leadership in these churches. And Paul even tells Titus what to look for in a leader. Verses 6, 7, and 8 we've studied and we've seen. Now, as we've looked at verses 6, 7, and 8, you know what we found out? These are just marks of spiritual maturity. This isn't some elite group here he's talking about. These are common, everyday, hardworking people in the church. But he said, I want you to look for people in the church that have grown up spiritually to where this is what their life looks like. This is what they look like. Verse 6 talks about his home life. Verse 7 talks about how this person that's grown up spiritually has the peace of God in their life. And they're not self-willed, always got to have their own way. They're not soon angry, always flying off the handle. They're not given to wine. You know, they've got to have something to relax them because of the stress of life. And they're no striker. They're not always striking out at people. They're not given to money. They've got the peace of God in their life. They don't have to have things to make them happy. Look for some spiritual believers, Titus, that show forth some maturity. Then verse 8, we talked about last week. And so he said, Titus, Paul's basically saying, Titus, look, man, when you need some grown-up believers in leadership positions, and here's what you need to look for. But here's the question, and you know, we've been talking about this now for 3 weeks, but you know what I know some of you are asking? Well, that's great. I see now the characteristics of spiritual maturity, but Pastor, how do I get there? You know, if I'm here and your teaching is kind of over here, then how do I get from where I'm at right here, how do I grow spiritually to get over here into verses 6, 7, and 8 where I'm manifesting some spiritual maturity in my life, where I've got that peace of God, I've got that love for people, and I've got my home life where I'm, my home life's exemplary of a godly home. How do I get from over there where I'm at, how do I get over here? And that's why this morning what we want to do is we want to consider this. How do we grow up in our spiritual walk? How do we mature in our faith? There's a great phrase here that typifies spiritual maturity, and it's found in verse 13. I want you to look at it with me. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Notice this phrase, that they may be sound in the faith. Say that with me, sound in the faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know that the faith just speaks of that body of truth that God gave us through Paul. That's the faith, okay, that was delivered to us. That's the body of truth, the doctrine that we hold to, the belief system we hold to, the faith. Well, he says, you want them to be sound in the faith. What does that mean? Well, I think we know what the word sound means. If you think you've got a heart condition, a heart problem, and you go to the heart doctor, and he does some testing on your heart and sits down with you and says, okay, I want to talk to you about the results of the test. And then he says to you, Mr. Smith, I've examined your heart and I have found it to be sound. Is that good news or bad news? That's good news, isn't it? Man, my heart's sound. Your heart condition is sound. What does that mean? It's healthy. It's whole. It's functioning properly. So what does it mean if I'm sound in the faith? It means spiritually, I'm healthy. Spiritually, I'm whole. Spiritually, I'm mature. I'm functioning the way that a grace believer should function in this dispensation of grace. And so that's what it means to be sound in the faith. It means I'm functioning properly. Just like your heart, I'm functioning right. I'm sound. I'm sound in the faith. Well, how do we get there? How do we become sound in the faith? And how do we grow up spiritually? That's the topic this morning that we want to examine from Titus 1. And we're really going to focus on verse 9, but we're going to actually cover verses 9 through 16 in the process. There's three keys that I see in verse 9 to growing up spiritually. And here's what they are. Number one is there must be an intake of God's Word. An intake of God's Word. As Titus was looking for mature believers to lead these churches, Paul said in verse 9 that they needed to be holding fast the faithful Word. Can we read the first part of that verse together? Holding fast the faithful Word. One more time, ready? Holding fast the faithful Word. What in the world does that mean? In your handout, it's real simple. To hold fast just means they had a firm grip on God's Word. And I don't mean physically, they got a grip like this, like I've got right now. That's not what I mean. You know what it means. If they're holding fast the Word, that means they got a firm grip on it in their spiritual life. That they're in the Word. There's a steady intake of God's Word. They're holding fast the faithful Word. They're holding it fast. They got a grip on it. There's a steady intake of it. They're receiving it. In your handout, it says, the Bible is the Christian spiritual food. Man, it's so important you get this. Some of you are young Christians. Some of you have just been saved recently. You've accepted Christ. You believed on Him. And the moment you believe on Jesus and His death and His burial and His resurrection, hey, the moment that you believe that His death is sufficient for your sin problem and you put your faith in Him, His life comes inside of you. He washes away your sins. His life comes to dwell in you. And how do I grow up now from being a brand new baby, newborn Christian? How do I get over here into verses 6, 7, and 8? And how do I grow up spiritually? Look at this verse on the screen. I'm going to bring it up. Let's say it together. Ready? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may what?
Grow.
So how do I grow? How do I grow? Are you going to grow apart from this book? You are not going to grow apart from the Word of God. In your handout, it says true spiritual growth will not take place apart from a steady diet of God's Word. I've seen believers, Christians, been saved for years. And they're still baby Christians. Did you know just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean you've grown up? I've seen baby Christians that have been saved 30 years. They're still babies. Why? Because they're not hungering and they're not desiring God's Word. That's simple. It's just not a priority in their life. Making money is more of a priority, or sports are more of a priority, or hobbies are more of a priority, fishing, whatever it is. I'm not trying to pick on anything in particular. You get the point that it's just not a priority in their life. And when the Word of God, as a Christian, when that's not a priority in your life, and it's kind of hit and miss, and I take it when I can, leave it when I can, when it's not a priority, you're not going to grow. And it's going to cause you all kinds of problems. And you're going to wonder, why do things blow up in my face so much? Why is it that my marriage is not good and my relationships many times are a mess? And why is it that I don't have that peace of God in my life? And why is it that I'm kind of selfish and self-centered and I just, you know, have these problems in my life? Well, you've got to grow. And in order to grow, the Word of God has to be a priority in your life. You see, Sunday morning's not enough. Now, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you ate physically one meal a week, would that be enough? It wouldn't be enough, would it? If all you did was have a big breakfast buffet Sunday morning, and I don't know if there's one in town anymore. It used to be Shoney's was a big breakfast. I don't know if there is one anymore, is there? Huh? Pickles? I am not going to no place called Pickles for breakfast. I've heard it's good, yeah. Well, I don't even like pickles. But you know what? If you went and pigged out at the breakfast buffet Sunday morning and didn't eat again until next Sunday, how would you feel? Hungry, yeah. But you'd be weak, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be weak? Some of us, we miss one meal and we're like, oh, I'm going to die, you know. And so can you imagine not eating for a week? But you know what? Why do you think you can do that spiritually? Why do you think you can come and just hear me teach the Word for 30, 40 minutes, and you can hear the Word once a week, go home, set your Bible, if you even bring your Bible to church, but you set your Bible down at home and never pick it up again? Why in the world do you think you would grow? Now think about that. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you. All I'm trying to do, I don't care about growing spiritually, then forget it. Forget what I'm talking about. But if you want to grow, and you want to go from where you're at, and you want to actually mature a little bit in your faith, you want to actually make some progress, you want to actually become a changed person, okay, for your spouse or your friends or your children or whoever, you want to actually let God change a little bit, then you've got to get in the Word. There's got to be an intake of the Word of God. See? What you get here at church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's a supplement to what you should be getting on your own. You should be reading it, and you've heard me say this before. It's not about volume. Okay, I'm not saying you have to read through the Bible in a year. I'm not saying you have to read a chapter a day. If you would just read a couple of verses in the morning before you go to work and really meditate on them, read them again at lunch, read them again at night, meditate on them, think about them, let them get inside you, probably do more good than trying to wolf down four chapters and not understand any of it. See what I mean? I'm not talking about volume. I'm just talking about steady. You're just steadily taking it in. Even if it's a verse or two a day, you're taking in the Word. You're taking it in. You say, well, I didn't understand that verse. I read it and didn't understand it. Go to the next one. But I don't know. Well, go to the next one. But you know what? At some point as you read, something's going to speak to your heart. Amen? And it's going to minister to you. And you're going to say, wow, that's good. That's good right there. I needed that today. You say, well, what if I don't understand it? Well, then study it. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But you see, there were religious teachers on this island of Crete. They were supposedly teaching people about God, but they weren't giving them God's Word rightly divided. Look at verse 9, or verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, what's that talking about? Well, there were people on this island that were vain talkers. They were doing a lot of talking. But Paul says they were teaching things which they ought not. Boy, I sure do wish I knew what they were teaching. You know what? God tells you. Look down at verse 14 and we can find out what they were teaching that was not right. Verse 14, he tells Titus, don't you give heed to, notice, Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. What were these false teachers teaching? They were teaching Jewish fables. What's a fable? A fable's a story. What's a Jewish fable? It's a religious story. So they were going around the island, infiltrating these churches, and they were telling stories, religious stories, to the believers. You know, this human experience, human interest stories, and these things that would kind of interest them or move their emotions. They were storytellers. And then he says, commandments of men. What does that mean? That's human-based religious tradition and rules. Commandments of men, religious tradition. And so these false teachers had a lucrative religious machine operating on this island. Verse 11, look at the end of verse 11. Why were they doing all this? Why were they going in and teaching these, telling these stories and teaching these religious traditions? They were doing it at the end of verse 11 for filthy lucre's sake. What's filthy lucre? Somebody tell me. Money! They had a lucrative religious machine operating on this island. Say, what? Wow, really? Yeah. People love to feel religious. And they love warm and fuzzy stories. And that's why they were able to subvert whole houses. Look back at 2 Timothy, just a couple pages. Go back to the left a couple pages. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. Look what Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, 3. Now, I hear a lot of turning. It's only a couple pages. It should be now. Don't overshoot it now. All right, 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. They're not going to handle just good, sound, healthy, life-giving doctrine, beliefs, and teaching. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, scratch me. Make me feel good. Tell me something that'll make me feel good. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Stories. And man, we've got a country today where it is the end thing to have a storytelling preacher. And you got storytelling preachers on TV, storytelling preachers on the radio, storytelling preachers in the pulpit. And what it is you've got a religious, it's a racket. It's a money-making racket. Because they know, man, this is what people want to hear. So I'm going to give them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And churches all over town are meeting today to perform religious ceremonies, to hear motivational stories and talks that are peppered with a little bit of scripture so everybody feels good about it. And you're not going to grow spiritually this way. That's my point. You turn on the TV, and this guy is telling you stories and telling you how great you are and telling you all these funny stories and making you laugh. Well, that's okay, but you know what? That's not going to grow and change you. Here's what I want you to understand is that you're not going to grow up spiritually this way, and that's why Paul said in verse 11, these guys that are running around telling these stories and they're talking about God, but they're just telling a bunch of religious stories and they're pushing a bunch of religious hocus-pocus. He said, listen, you got to stop their mouths, Titus. You need to get you some godly men. You need to get you some people who are grounded in the book. They know that book. They've got a grip on it. They know the book. And you need to take these false teachers that have infiltrated these churches and you got to put them in their place. You got to rebuke them. And Titus, you need to round you up some people that know that book and know how to rightly divide it, know how to study it, know how to teach it to other people that have some sound doctrine, they're sound in the faith, and you need to go and you need to rebuke these false teachers. What's the point? The point is that if you're going to grow, there's got to be an intake of God's Word. Number two, second thing there is this. You got to have a teachable spirit to learn God's Word. Notice with me again verse 9. Go back to Titus 1:9. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word, notice the next phrase. As he hath been taught. Why were these men sound in the faith? Because they had been taught God's Word. In your handout, it says you can take in God's Word, but there needs to be some learning taking place. You can take it in, but there really needs to be some learning. So what are you talking about? Look back at 2 Timothy again. Flip back another page, and don't overshoot it now. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3:14. Okay? He warns, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's going to be all kinds of false teachers on the radio, on TV, in pulpits. They're going to wax worse and worse, Timothy. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned. Who did he learn it from? He learned it from Paul. He said, you just continue with the things I have taught you. He says at the end of that verse, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hey, Timothy, everybody else is going to be telling stories. They're going to be turned to fables. They're just going to be giving motivational talks and self-help speeches. And they're going to be tickling people's ear and they're going to gather some crowds. But Timothy, that's okay. You just stick by the stuff. You just continue to teach the Word of God that I have taught you. People can sit in church week after week and never grow. And that really amazes me. And it kind of, is discouraging. I mean, really. Sometimes if you let it, and I don't let it, but it can discourage you. Because you hear of something in the church and you think, wow, now that person ought to know better than to do that. You think, man, they ought to know better than that. Well, why are they responding that way? You know, and it's, here's the thing. You can sit in church week after week after week after week, year after year after year, never grow and never change. Why? Because people, many times, they don't have ears to hear. You say, what do you mean? I got two ears. Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You can have ears on the side of that head and not hear. Ladies, you ever said to your husband, I'm talking, but you're not listening? You ever say that to your husband? I'm talking, but you're not listening. Oh, he's hearing noise, but he doesn't have ears to hear. He's not listening. Right? Go over to Hebrews, all right? Right past Titus. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Okay, just a few pages now. Hebrews 5, and look with me at verse 12. Hebrews 5, so I'll give you an example of not having ears to hear. Hebrews 5, 12. He's writing to these Hebrew Christians. For when for the time you ought to be what? Yeah, you ought to be teaching some people some things. You have need that one teach you, notice the word, again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You're become such as have need of milk. You got to go back home baby food. Not of strong meat. Some deeper things in the word. No, I can't share them with you. I got to go back and teach you again the things that you were already taught once. Well, wait a minute. If they got to be taught again, then obviously they didn't get it the first time. Well, why didn't they get it? Look at the next verse. I'm sorry, verse 11. Why didn't they get it? Here's why they didn't get it. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You know why they didn't get it? They were dull of hearing. There's people in here this morning. I'm up here making all kinds of noise, but that's all it is noise to you. It's just a bunch, you say it's loud noise. I gotta try to do something, I guess, huh, to get your attention. I get excited. I know I do. I can't help it. I get excited. People will holler and scream at the racist today, you know, and I get excited about the Bible. But you know what? People are many times are dull of hearing. What do you mean? Well, dull of hearing, that word dull means spiritually lazy. It's like the idea of just entertain me. Just entertain me. I want to go to church, but I don't want to have to think. Let me do a few mindless religious rites. Let me hear some interesting stories. Let me laugh a little. Let me feel good about myself. Let me soothe my conscience and go home. Dull of hearing. Spiritually lazy. That was how the culture at Crete was. Go back to Titus and I'll show you. Titus chapter 1. This was the culture Titus was dealing with. This was embedded in their culture. Titus 1:12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, okay, this is a prophet of their own. This is somebody that was part of the culture, and here's what they said. Verse 12, the Cretans, the people that live on the island of Crete, are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Slow bellies means they were just gluttons. You know what that basically means when it says they're liars, they're gluttons? In other words, you know what their culture was? And there's cultures like this today. But here was the Cretan culture. They liked to sit around, eat, drink, and tell tales. They liked to see who could outdo the other one telling the biggest stories. Of course, it's lies, but they liked to tell stories. They liked to tell big stories. So this was part of the culture. Now, you know what the false teachers did? Wait a minute. We got an opportunity to go in here and make some bucks. So you know what we'll do? I know what we'll do. We'll cater to the culture. We'll give people what they want. Instead of steak and potatoes and vegetables, we'll give them some cotton candy. And you know what? The people were eating up their religious cotton candy. They were eating it up. And the religious, so the people are eating it up. The religious teachers are bringing in the bucks. But wait a minute, there was only one problem. People weren't growing spiritually. Verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Oh, they talk a lot about God. But in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, unto every good work, reprobate. You know what is startling? Is that that's a pretty good description of Christianity today in America. You say, what do you mean? Yeah, did you know that surveys have been done by reputable pollsters? They have found that there is little difference between a Christian lifestyle and a non-Christian's lifestyle. What they do at work, the sins that are committed at work, and the way they live their life, and the values they hold to, you know what they found? Is that the Christians and the non-Christians, Christian teenagers, what lost teenagers are involved in? Christian teenagers are involved in that are going to youth group. They found there's little difference between the Christian and the non. Why is that? Because churches have catered to the culture. We have more mega churches in America than we've ever had before. We got so many mega churches. Churches run in thousands. Culture hasn't gotten any godlier, has it? Why? Because churches are catering to the culture in order to get the crowds, rather than giving them the truth of God's Word. We're tickling ears, but it's not changing lives. Are you with me? And there's churches all over town tickling ears, but we're not changing lives because we're not giving people the truth of the Word of God. You see, in your handout, it says stories and church tradition do not change people. Truth that has been digested and learned changes people. So if you want to grow up spiritually, you've got to have an intake of God's Word, but then you got to really have a teachable spirit to learn it. It's not enough to just sit and listen. You've got to actually want to learn the Bible. And as you learn the truth of God and you digest it, then it changes you. And it's not something that you notice overnight. It's a gradual changing process. And a year from now, you look back after you've applied yourself to learning God's Word. A year from now, you look back and say, my, how I've changed. Man, I've changed. Man, I've grown. That's the idea. Look at the third thing. The last thing in your handout is this. If we're going to grow up spiritually, it's going to take not only an intake of God's Word, learning God's Word. Number three, the daily use of God's Word. Do you know there's a purpose, there's a reason behind studying and learning the Bible? Isn't that great? That's a great revelation, isn't it? There's actually a purpose behind it. There's actually a reason. I mean, if you go to DBCC over here and you take nursing, I would hope that there's going to be a purpose behind it. And the purpose and the reason behind it would be to actually go do some nursing and actually get a job and help some people and do some nursing, make some money and bring in, you know, pay the bills. There's a purpose, there's a reason behind studying nursing. If you study plumbing and you're studying that and you're an apprentice under somebody, there's a purpose, there's a reason. Why? So you can fix some plumbing. Right? Well, there's a reason behind studying the Bible. There's actually a reason, there's a purpose. And that's so you can use it in your daily life. In your Bible, look at Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. But why? That he may be able. Ha ha. So there's a purpose. There's a reason behind this. That he may be able by sound doctrine. What's sound doctrine? It's spiritual truth. It's the truth of God's Word. Sound doctrine. What's he going to do with it? Look at it. He's going to exhort and convince the gainsayers, those who are speaking evil against the way of truth. So here's the point. In your handout, the intake of spiritual truth is to be used. You take what you've learned, you apply it to the details of your life. That's the idea. Go back to Hebrews again. I should have had you keep your bookmarker there. Hebrews 5. Go back to that exact same passage, Hebrews 5. All right? And keep your bookmarker in Titus. Look at Hebrews 5:14. Remember the people who had to be taught again? Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are full age. How do I get to full age spiritually? How do I grow up spiritually? Look at it. Even those who by reason of what? Use. Using what? In context, the Word. Using the Bible. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Using the Bible. Look up at the screen. I'm going to show you a verse. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice, nourished up. I like that. Nourished up in the words of faith and of what kind of doctrine? Good doctrine. The right belief system. So he says you're going to be nourished up in the words of this good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But now look at the next verse. You got this good doctrine in you. You got this good belief system. But look, he says refuse profane and old wives' fables. There's all kinds of old wives' fables on the internet and warm and fuzzy stories. And many of them are designed to get your mind off of the Word and get it onto human experience. Can I tell you something? You don't base your doctrine and your beliefs on human experience. Well, but I read a story. I don't care what you read. The Bible's our final authority. It's the Bible that's going to change you. It's the Bible that we use in our life that's going to change us and make a difference. He says, you refuse these profane and old wives' fables. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care what a human experience says. He says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Take the good doctrine of verse 6 and exercise it. In other words, work it, use it in your daily life. What you learn on Sunday morning, go home and use it Sunday afternoon. What you learn in life group, go home and use it. What you learn in your reading tomorrow morning, apply it at work tomorrow. See, that's the idea. Apply it at college. Apply it at high school. Take what you've learned, that good doctrine, and then use it. And in your handout, it says there are people who know God's Word, but they refuse to apply it to the details of their life. What happens when somebody knows good doctrine and they don't apply it? You know what happens? They get puffed up and prideful. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. If all you do is know the Bible, it'll just puff you up. As you apply God's Word to the details of your life, then I want you to go back to Titus, and we're going to end this message with verse 15. And notice what happens when you begin to use the Bible. You're not just learning it, you're using it. Do you see the progression? Well, I hope you're getting this. The first point in your handout, an intake, you receive it. Number two, you learn it. Number three, you use it. And here's what happens. In verse 15, unto the pure, all things are what? Pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Unbelieving of what? Unbelieving of the Word, the Bible. They're into stories. They're into human experience. They're into religious tradition. They're unbelieving. And to them nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. What does it mean? Unto the pure, all things are pure. He didn't say all actions are pure, did he? He said all things. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Things can either be used in a pure way or things can be corrupted. You take a gun, you set it down here, and that gun, if it's picked up by a man with an evil heart, he can take that gun and use it in an evil, wicked way. On the other hand, you take a guy that lives out in the jungles of Africa or wherever, he could take that gun, he could use that gun to shoot food and feed his family. He could take that gun and use it to provide food for his neighbor. He could take that gun, he could use it to protect his family from savages and from people who would try to come in and rape and destroy his family. That gun, see, it can be pure when it's in the hands of somebody with a pure heart. It can be evil when it's in the hands of an evil man. And that's the idea here. Unto the pure, all things are pure. What's the point? Here's the point. It's the truth of God. It's the truth of God taken in, learned, and used that purifies our thinking. And it allows us to view things and to use things correctly. It allows you to use your money, your things, everything correctly. Now, before you put up your notes, I want to ask you this question. Okay, are you growing spiritually? If not, isn't it time? God's truth can change your life, and not only that, God's truth changes the way you look at life. It purifies your thinking, and it changes the whole way you look at life. No longer is your wife maybe something to be used. No. Under the pure, all things are pure. You begin to look at your marital relationship in a pure way. You begin to look at that. A computer is another good example, just like the gun illustration. Man, I'll tell you something. There's a whole lot of wickedness that a computer can be used for. Amen? But can it be used in a good way? Yeah, you could use it to study the Bible. You know, you can use it to help you, to study the Word of God. The computer, it just depends. You know, under the pure, all things are pure. You take that, and you know, then there's the religion out there. That, you know, you need to get rid of this, you need to get rid of that, you need to not have a computer, you don't need to have a TV, you don't need to have a radio. You know, and we need, you've got people that are like Amish, you know, we're just going to, you know what though, listen. You can take away this and take away that, but you know something, it can't change your heart. Here's the issue, is your heart. If your heart's wicked, you're going to use that computer in a wicked way. If your heart's pure, then under the pure, all things are pure. Well, as you grow up in the Lord, as you grow spiritually through this book, not stories, not church tradition, not religious rites, as you grow in the Word, it purifies your thinking. It changes your life. That's the point. But you know what? You can't grow in Christ until you're in Christ. So this morning, you may be here, and you're not even sure that you're in Christ. In other words, you're not sure that your sins have been forgiven. You're not sure that you're God's child. You're not sure that you're part of the family of God. Listen, if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that your sins have been forgiven and that God's life is inside of you, then you need to get that settled first. Then once you're in Christ, once you put your faith in Him, once you've been saved, now you can get on that path of growing in Christ, being built up in Christ. And that's what God wants in your life. See, more than God wants you to be sinless, God just wants you growing. He just wants you moving in the right direction, growing in the Lord. And, you know, the reason why we have church isn't just a social club. This is not a social club. This is not something we just do to do. It's not something we do to soothe our conscience. It's not something we do to go and be entertained. We go to church to help us to grow. Sunday night, Wednesday night, it's to grow. We're growing. See, we're learning truth, digesting it, using it, and then growing. That's how we grow. We take it in, learn it, practice it, use it. And as we practice it and use it, that then we find ourselves growing spiritually. Okay? But if you're not in Christ, that's where it all starts. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to know you're saved. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord.